D7-2 is the professional PC text multi-tool designed for automation in diagnostic, Windows repair, and malware removal. No other tool can help you automate more, relax more, and get paid with less effort than ever. Podnuts likes to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 115. We're all here today. We got a full panel and then some. We are joined today with a guest, but before we get to him, I'm going to go around and ask our other co-hosts how they're doing. Well, we've started with Tim before. This time we're going to start with Fred. Hey, Fred, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Did I catch you off guard?
You did. I'm normally like the last guy to go, so, you know.
But today you're the first.
Hey, you got to be first sometime, right?
Yes.
No, I'm
the first. I got nothing.
And I'm at home, so that's a bonus.
Are you? Because the background's a little bit different, so that's why I was curious if you were at home or not.
We're home tonight.
So. Very nice. Very nice. Been traveling much?
Yeah, been flying around the country and got home, Friday? So I was home for the Easter weekend and got to spend time with the family, so that was great.
Oh, that's very nice. Very, very cool. Hey, Mitch, how's things?
Not too bad. I was off work today. Had an eye exam. And
did you pass?
The guy was getting frustrated. I have allergies. That's what's causing my vision problems, I think, more than anything right now. So I got some eye drops going on, and we'll see how it works.
Cool. Do you have to hold one eye and be like,
you know what?
X.
Yeah, my wife is giving me all kinds of, well, because it costs so much to go to this place, this eye doctor. But anyway, I said, hon, you're going to have to put these drops in. And she goes, you never put eye drops in before? No, I've never done it in 58 years. And she said, show me how to, she does it with her. And it's everything's okay.
That's all right. They had me to do eye drops, and I'm like, so I just kind of squeeze it really hard from way back here and try to hit my eye.
Yeah, exactly. But it's helping. Hey, I can see you guys real good.
There you go. You can see that Tim's here with us, Tim. Mm-hmm.
What's up, baby?
Oh, how you doing? You're awfully quiet today.
Good. That's because I haven't been addressed yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were on a you can only speak when spoken to.
Well, I type you know like you said, you usually start with me, but you're not start with me. You start with somebody else. And I thought, yes, you know, the first well, to be last, the last nice. Be first. I'm okay with that. Hey,
I just kind of thought it would be nice if we brought Fred in a little. You know, he's not here very often.
No, you know, well.
Oh, hey, Fred.
Fred, it's the Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
You're not going to hear much from me today. I plan on just sitting back and listen to our guest. This is awesome. I'm so glad to have him here.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Well, we won't keep everybody in suspense.
Not Fred. Longer.
No, Fred's not our guest. Fred, this is like, no, see, Fred's on a winning streak right now.
And
two times in a row.
And I'm not interesting, so.
All right, well, without further ado, our guest today is Matt Rainey from Podnuts Pro. How's it going, Matt?
Good, Martin. Good to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear your voice. It's great to talk to you. I know, I think all of us on the panel here, Geeksters, have listened to Podnuts Pro, and then it went away. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
It's gone. And so I heard you sat down with Jeff from Podnuts Daily not too long ago, and I was like, oh, Matt's on Podnuts Daily. So I got a chance to listen to that and catch up and hear what you've been up to, and now you're on with Geeksters, and so you're back in the game, back in action.
A little bit, doing some appearances here and there. But I would like, yeah, Podnuts Pro, that's, like I said on the Podnuts Daily, it went away. It may come back. We'll see. It may not be a regular thing. I need to get with Lalo, but it may come on once in a while if that's good enough for people. I hate to put a show out and have a set schedule, but we may just do it and see if people like it or if people complain.
Nah, I won't complain. I think you'd have more people liking it than complaining. I think having you and Lalo coming back on and doing some stuff is going to be just, it's going to be great.
Well, hopefully. We'll see. I'll get with Lalo. But until then, I can come on great shows like Geeksters and Podnuts Daily.
We should have a monthly What's Matt Up To check-in. Well, speaking of that, I've already had people in the chat room say, where's Matt? Has he been hiding under a rock? Where's been Matt? What's Matt been doing? So everybody in the chat room has been asking. And so what has Matt been doing?
I actually have been hiding under rocks. No.
it's okay. It's only Windows 8. It's not going to be around for very much longer. You can come out when it's all over.
Windows 8, oh, that's a disaster. But what I've been doing, it's just the same old stuff. Talking to you is the same stuff that you do, supporting small businesses. And for us, it just keeps us really busy. There's really no spare time during the day whatsoever. So after work, which might be 6:30-ish by the time I actually get home, and then sometimes I work remotely from home until 10, 11, if I feel like it, doing some scans or checking on servers. But it just keeps us really busy, which is why Podnuts Pro has not been coming on lately. But for us, it's been the same old trying to keep up with all the work. And all the XP expiring is not helping, all the customers freaking out at the last minute. Even though we've been warning them for a year that it's coming, now that they hear it on Fox News or CNN, they believe it. So they all want
to... Which is the worst place to hear things like that, because it just creates a firestorm of, you know, the world's going to die, isn't it? Is our money safe? Is the planes going to fall out of the sky? No.
Right. And of course, they all call and say, is this true? Well, it was true when I told you a year ago.
Yeah.
Still true.
They're not going to believe you, but they hear it on
Right. They don't believe me. They believe some reporter on... And that they kind of heard in the background mentioning about the end of XP. So,
oh gosh,
yeah, yeah. I actually saw something come across Google Plus the other day, actually yesterday, regarding and everybody knows who's been, you know, talking and listening to us, that, you know, everybody knows Windows XP is going away, and but this person came out and said, is our money safe because of the Windows embedded in ATMs, the Windows XP embedded in ATMs. And the people are like, seriously, you got to stop beating that horse. It's fine, because Windows embedded is completely different than Windows in the operating system, right?
Right, but it's got the name Windows, and everything Windows is going to expire, you know.
Right.
It's easy to sensationalize that, because there are so many of those ATMs. They start throwing around numbers, and, you know, it's easy to blow that story way out of proportion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And of course, when they call me, and I remind them that it's not just Windows XP that's expiring. It's Exchange Server 03. It's your Windows 2000 machine is still expired, because that expired years ago.
Office 2003.
Office 2003.
Yeah.
Windows ME.
2000. ME.
Windows NT, which I think I've still seen sitting around somebody's office. Windows 98. Yeah, you know, I was like, if you didn't care about it then, you really shouldn't care about it now. But
is it time to upgrade my Windows 98? I hear XP's expiring. Should I do something about this?
And that, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of calls we get is, can I go to Windows 8? Yes, on a new computer. But what about my current computer? Well, your current computer should be replaced 5 years ago. We don't really want to load a new operating system on it. So no, you can't upgrade it. So a lot of calls are wanting to upgrade their old computers to the new operating system.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I understand why Microsoft had to move on. You can't hold everything forever, but it, you know, unfortunately, like I said, it's caused everybody to have to you can't just upgrade. You have to actually go throw away and then get new, which makes it even kind of it's a bigger hit to the pocketbook, unfortunately.
Well, my response to them is, you got your money's worth out of this computer. It's what, 11 years old? You know, let's spend another $600 and get a new one, $700 for a new one.
Right. And I mean, you know, Dell and HPs are all throwing Windows 7, you know, parties. And so you can still get Windows 7 for, I mean, fairly inexpensive.
Yeah. And this is not unique to Microsoft. Some questions I get is, well, should I get an Apple computer? Well, if you want to, yes. But don't get one thinking you can run that operating system for the rest of your life, because they also make operating systems go away too. It's not unique to Microsoft.
And they're actually quicker and a lot more hard-nosed about making operating systems go away. You just get upgraded and they say, that's it.
Right, which is Microsoft's mistake. They shouldn't have let XP hang around this long.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's their own fault, and they won't do it again. They won't let Windows 7 hang around for 10 years. So.
Well, we talked last week that you can't get Windows 8 updates until you're on Windows 8.1 update 1. So they're... They went from 15 years to 6 months.
Well, good. They needed to not make that mistake again.
Yeah. And I know that our friend Tim there got a big chuckle out of that one last year, last week.
Yeah, that was – I'm still enjoying that very, very much.
Did you hear about that one, Matt?
What was that?
So you have Windows 8, and then they came out with Windows 8.1. Now they're coming out with Windows 8.1 Update 1, which is going to be probably next month. Well, if you're running Windows 8 or running Windows 8.1, you cannot get security updates because unless you're running Windows 8.1 update 1, they won't push out security updates.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, so they're making you, like, they're forcing everybody to not only get Windows 8 or 7 if you have a Windows XP machine, but internally within the current operating system, push patches. It'd be like, you know, unless you have Service Pack 3, we're not going to support Service Pack 2 on,
right. You know, my question,
on old XP. Or
my question is, what did they jack up so bad that they had to force you to do that update?
I don't know, but the problem is that a lot of people are having is that the update is not working. It's broken. There's some machines that are actually erroring out during the update, and Microsoft says, okay, I'm sorry, but we don't have a fix for that. You're going to have to just fix it and come along. And everybody's like, but you're telling me that I'm not going to get updates until I update, but I can't update so I can get updates. So how do I fix that?
Right. Well, I know when I did some Windows 8 computers a few days ago, and to try and go into the store to get 8.1, it doesn't work most of the time. So you've got to keep rebooting, try again, and eventually it'll start downloading and take.
Oh my goodness.
That's horrible.
I think I had one where I tried 4 or 5 times over a day and a half and went to the store, get 8.1, and it just sits there doing nothing.
Now, just for clarification for people listening, you're not talking like going to a physical store. You're talking the Microsoft store.
So, yeah, right. The store. You go to the modern UI and click on the store, the store app. And in there it says get Windows 8.1. And you can click on it to get it. That doesn't mean you're actually going to get it. That means it might just...
Oh, you're
going to
get it.
You'll get a long wait. And after, you know, it might test your limits of how long you're willing to wait before you cancel and reboot and try it again.
There's a disclaimer on the bottom. You have to cross your fingers, right?
Well, or you could just download the 8.1 update APK and sideload it.
APK.
I'm thinking of something else.
You've been on the phone too long.
Android phone.
Wow, what a geeky thing to say. I'm sorry.
Nerd.
It would be easier if you could actually download it yourself.
A year ago, I wouldn't even know what that meant.
Well, yeah, because remember, you used to be able to download the service packs individually and then just install them. Mm-hmm. Can you not do that with 8.1?
I don't think you can. I think you have to go to the store app.
Well, that seems like a major bottleneck right there.
Is if you go into the Windows Store, if the 8.1, if it says get 8.1, if it's not a really big square and you click it, it'll say, oh, you have to do updates first. Then do your updates and then come back to the store and try again.
There you go, Martin.
Oh, my goodness. Because I used to just, you know, back in XP, install Windows XP, right? And then the first thing you do is grab a service pack, because why waste all the time installing updates when the service pack is going to install those updates?
Right. The way it works now is the updates allow you to install the next update.
Oh my goodness! So it's just a big. It's, you know what it is? It's just a big Jenga game.
Yeah. So you have to go to Windows updates, do all the updates you can do, then go to the store, get Windows 8.1, hope it works, then go back to Windows updates and do more updates.
So taking it to the next level then, and I, you know, for this probably pertains a lot to me is I have not been using Server 2012 very often just because I'm very comfortable with 2008 R2. It works. It's stable. I can do everything. And I haven't moved anybody to 2012. Are you seeing that these same issues in the server world?
I haven't seen it yet. And we've got quite a few of those servers out. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be the first time I did one. It just, as soon as you get to the little silly modern UI, just go to the desktop and you're done. And from there, it's pretty much the same. But I have not seen those issues. Of course, I haven't done I don't know that update is the same as a server release. Like the Windows 8.1.
I was just curious. I mean, I know that, you know, the Windows desktop and the server desktop or the server, you know, Windows OS and the server OSs are completely, you know, hopefully they're not being done by the same group of people. But I was just curious if that was something.
Well, it looks the same. It's just the tiles you see are different on the modern UI on the server side. So they have a tile, I think it's for PowerShell, and a tile for something else. And there's only a couple of them, too. It's not like the desktop where it's filled full of tiles.
Pages and pages of tiles.
Right. Norton Backup and, you know, Hulu and whatever else. There's just a couple tiles. I think there's like 4 or 5. So you click,
that's not bad.
Click on desktop and you're back on the desktop. It's just, I don't like the way you have to find things on the server. You know, the little search and then go find it. I think that's ridiculous. And as far as a server, which is more than likely is not going to have a touch screen, I don't know why you'd want an operating system that's touchscreen centric.
I was thinking that same thing too. You're talking about the Metro interface on the on a server, and I'm thinking, well, here's our server. It's this tablet right here. Here's our.
Yeah, I mean, you can envision a data center full of touchscreens everywhere. I mean, that's not how it is. I mean,
oh yeah, it's just like CSI. They're down at the big table and they're just throwing their arms around, and that's the way every server room is going to be. Yeah,
right. So now, do they make the KVM switches touchscreens? So if you have one monitor, it's a touchscreen, and it goes across.
KVMT.
Can you imagine if you had a touchscreen and it was only a command line?
A big virtual keyboard.
That just broke my head. Command line.
Can you imagine if you had a touch screen and it actually worked?
No.
All right.
Well, hey, I wanted to say something real quick. I had the opportunity, what's it been, about a month ago, I flew into Matt's hometown, and I was able to briefly meet up with him, and it was really cool. You came out about, Matt even got up early, I think, to come see me. So
I did get up early. It's too bad you couldn't hang out longer. Yeah, you had a... Of course, as he says, anytime you make plans, his flights will change. So,
yeah, well, the plan was initially I was getting it, not leaving until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and I was going to get a car and head over to his shop and, you know, watch, how geeky am I? I wanted to go watch Matt work. So, that's pretty geeky. But they changed their trips around, so he just came out to the airport. But it was really cool to meet you, and it was cool.
I love it. Fred's pretty much you pretty much met everybody pretty much in our little group here, pilots group. But you didn't meet Steve C though, did you? No. Yeah, you didn't meet him yet.
No, haven't met Steve.
Well, he's not really part of it, I guess, anymore, except for Android Appatics.
He's the godhead.
Yeah.
The man behind the curtain. What area of the country are you in, Matt? I don't even know.
I'm sorry?
What area of the country are you in?
I'm in South Louisiana.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, fantastic.
Cajun country. Do I sound nice. Cajun?
You know, I always think Texas. I don't know why, but it's right. Louisiana. Mardi Gras. All right.
When you see that footage of people in Cajun country, we don't all sound like that.
Harry Connick Jr.
Okay. He's not really a Cajun, though.
Oh, okay. Well, close enough, I guess. I don't know. He sings good.
That's bitches. Harry Connick Jr.
I'm trying to think. I don't.
I
Chef Justin Wilson.
Wilson. There you go. He's a real Cajun. Actually, he lived across the street from my cousin.
Wow.
Who's this?
Yeah.
Wow.
But of course, his accent is fake. You realize that, right? That's just for TV.
Oh, that's the only person I know. So
right. He doesn't actually talk like that. If anybody knows who Justin Wilson is, the chef, celebrity or the chef, that accent is.
I guarantee.
You're right.
I guarantee.
That accent is fake for his for his audience.
Well, so is mine.
Really?
Here.
Well, completely bringing this show back on track here.
This is
thanks, Fred.
Yeah, thanks, Party Pooper.
Martin and I were talking, or briefly chatting last night about some of the things I talked to you about, and we thought one of the good things, like some do's and don'ts, you know, for guys wanting to get into small business support. And I thought you were the perfect guy to kind of maybe bring some of those topics up. I'll say
which I have to interrupt you and ask you this, Fred. Do you know what I do? I'm just curious.
Yeah, but you're not Matt Rainey.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My humble apologies.
I'm teasing.
If anybody needs me, I'm going to be in the corner.
Well, you got to realize that everything Matt knows, I mean, you know it, but only 2 hours later.
Exactly. And honestly, I hold no fault against you, Fred, because really, I would say, ask Matt Rainey. I go to ask Matt Rainey, what do you think I should do about this taxes? What do you think I should do about that?
Oh, you're killing me. Well, I had gone back and listened to a couple of the shows today, and one of the things, and I've spoken about it it's been a couple of years since the show was out, but it was about your contracts and how you don't do contracts. And are you still doing that, or?
Yeah, we don't do written contracts. So our service agreement customers, or some people call them retainer clients, it's all verbal. Of course, there is email records that explains to them in writing what it covers, what it doesn't cover, what the fee is going to be. But yeah, we don't do anything in writing, mainly because we feel people have enough contracts. You show somebody a contract and here, sign this. They're like, oh, I got to sign another contract. I mean, contracts for everything. Contract for cable, phone, internet. I mean, there's no, I don't feel there's any reason for another signed contract. I mean, we reach an agreement. We're going to charge you this much. This is what we're going to provide you with service. And that's all in an email. If they call and say, hey, why am I being charged this? Well, here's what we agreed on. If you want to stop it, we'll stop it right now. So they can cancel at any time. I can cancel at any time if I don't want to provide service anymore. So,
right.
But nothing written.
And that's never been an issue legally for you? Cause you any grief or?
Nope.
Yeah, so I find that really interesting. And I think that's really a great way to go about doing it. I know a lot of people have completely disagreed over the years, or I've talked about that, the way you do that. But I think if I was doing it, I would adapt a similar, you know, like what you say, you send an email, you say what you will and won't do, and what else do you really need?
And, yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to lay out everything in a contract anyway, just like it's almost impossible to lay out everything in an email or even a voice call. But, I mean, basically we give them the overview. And if anything comes into question, we'll work it out between us and the client. No matter what you tell them, even if it's in a contract, it's going to be misinterpreted no matter what you do. So,
right.
You can tell them we provide this service between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, excluding holidays. That will be twisted to when they call on a Sunday morning. I thought I had a service agreement. Yes, you did. You do. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. holidays excluded. So. No matter what you tell them, it's going to be misconstrued at some point down the road. Now, one thing I will say is contracts. And a lot of people do contracts, and they have a little disclaimer saying, we're not responsible for your data. You've seen those, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's good to do that, especially for home users who complain more about things, and you don't necessarily know them. I mean, we have a relationship with all of our business clients. So, Martin, I'm sure you have a relationship with your clients. You know, you talk to them. And we tell our clients, you've got to have trust. If you don't trust us, you need to find somebody you do trust to do your work. But if you have a contract that says we're not responsible for data loss, just know that that does not protect you from anything.
Right.
Because if you lose their data, they can still sue you.
Yeah. Well, you can't sign away negligence. The point is, you can't sign away negligence. I mean,
right. And they can claim negligence on anything.
Absolutely.
So it's a disclaimer to try and maybe make somebody think they can't sue you. But let's see what happens if you lose their data. And we know let's say the hard drive just crashes. Before it gets to you, you boot it up, there's nothing. The hard drive's gone. You tell the customer, hard drive crashed. Well, you lost my data. Well, I couldn't even boot the computer. So say it goes to a judge, and the judge is, of course, a non-technical, like everybody else, non-technical. They don't understand what's happening. So who's going to side with who? The judge will say, the guy will say, when I gave it to him, it worked. I shut it down. I gave it to him. Now my data's gone. Of course, it's something we did that, according to the judge, more likely, who's not technically inclined, is going to agree with the customer. Yeah, you're right. He should have lost your data. So it's good to have to try and cover yourself, but just don't think that covers you completely.
Right.
Yeah, I do have written contracts. I have. So what I usually do with my clients is I have an initial proposal of what I'm going to do, and usually it's just a broad sweeping brush of I'm going to manage your network. You know, this is like a client that I just got signed today was I'm going to manage everything from servers to workstations to printers to peripherals to network to VPN to firewall. You know, that plus, you know, anything new, anything upcoming, you know, that kind of stuff. But then underneath all that, I have all my customers sign like a statement, like a master service agreement. And inside of that is what goes through usually all the legal stuff. And it's usually it really comes down to is a couple sentences of, you know, anytime you can leave, anytime I can leave with 30 days notice. And really, you know, terms of payment, you know, is really what it comes down to. And I've had to use that on a couple clients. I'm actually in the process of one right now where a client just stopped paying me. They just fell off the face of the earth, and I'm having to go get money from them.
Right.
And, you know, I can use these for that. But I also hold, you know, one of the things that I also picked up was liability insurance. So I have $1 million if I do something stupid and burn somebody's place down, but I have $1 million also, as well as if I leave my toolbox out and somebody falls over and breaks their, you know, leg.
Right. And my opinion is if you're doing professional computer services, meaning supporting businesses, then you need that. And a lot of businesses want you to provide with them with their certificate every year that you're covered, because they have to turn that into their people. So
right, and I, you know, my point on contracts is not necessarily that I'm gonna do something or I'm gonna take, you know, the cheap way out, or I'm gonna do something, but really it's a nice agreement that we have written down that we will cover that. Now, you know, the statement of work, or my master service agreement, that big one, that just sits there. That just rolls over. That just keeps going. Usually if any big projects come up, then maybe we'll do a statement of work. But a lot of that, after that first initial one of just, I'm going to cover everything, and they say, great, we agree on the terms. And then after that, it's just, hey, could you do this and could you do that? We just keep moving along with it. So I think I just have my client sign it initially. And then after that, it's pretty much kind of silly to keep assigning a new contract for every little thing.
Yeah, and we don't have that much where a client gets behind on their service agreement. But one good way that I've found to have them pay is if you're bundling in, let's say, spam filtering or whatever else new services for them, and that's behind, you can always just cut that off. And then, of course, they won't get email. And they'll call and say, we're not getting email. Well, that's right, because you haven't paid for services. So as soon as you get current, we'll make sure that service is restored as soon as possible. So
I have been trying to be better on that, because it's only come back twice, really. The first time I just wrote it off, and this time I'm kind of actively at least a little bit pursuing it a little bit more, but we'll see what happens. And these have never been any of my these have never been any of my clients where I do managed service support. This has all been web hosting. I want a website. Yeah, I want email. Okay, great. Here's your invoice. What? Here's your invoice. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up a little louder?
Yeah, so then you cut their web hosting off, and they get a page not displayed or whatever you put on there, and then they'll probably call pretty quick.
But per my contract, it says I need to, and, you know, give 30 days notice. And so, you know, I have them written out just because I think it helps a little bit, at least for me, and make sure that we have everything written out. But I can see both sides of the story. I definitely understand why you wouldn't want to do a contract. It's just something, another thing to sign.
Well, I think it is, you know, it's not a signed contract, but the words are still there. They're just in an email form, right?
Yeah, they're email, they're verbal. I mean, we usually send out an email with what was discussed, so there's a record of it, but
right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just an email.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think that's one of the points that I've just heard a lot of people kind of go back and forth. But I mean, you're living proof that it does work. And
Now this is for business clients. Of course, somebody who's doing some business support for home users, I definitely would have a home user sign something before work is done on their computer. But for the businesses, we tend to have a long-standing relationship with them. So
you had mentioned a while ago you were getting a home computer division. Are you guys still doing that, or have you quit?
Well, it's
doing
still
that?
There. but we really haven't had time to devote to promoting that or doing anything with that. We get word of mouth calls from it because some of our clients know that we do that, so they'll call for their personal computers and then they'll refer other people. So we get some work for that, but it's not something that we're actively trying to grow, because we just don't have the manpower for it.
How big is your shop?
Let's see. There's
300 by 400
working there. As far as the workers, there's three partners. There's three other techs, full-time techs. There's one part-time tech. There's two full-time office staff.
Wow.
As far as customers, you know, it's hard to say. I would probably have to guess a couple of hundred businesses that we do.
Nice.
Very nice.
Do you find that most of your business clients, are they all over the map in terms of what they do, or are you more specialty, like financial services, doctor's offices? Or?
Oh, they're all over.
They're all over?
Yeah. Accountants, lawyers, oil field, they're all over the place.
You still putting servers out left and right?
Yes. We usually have, their servers go out every week.
Really?
I don't know if a week go by that we don't have a server going out for something, yeah. I've got four or five sitting ready to go out right now.
Wow, nice.
I mean, they, every day. I mean, pretty much every week is going to be servers going out somewhere. I mean, there's desktops and tablets going out every day, too. I mean, we probably do on a week 10 desktops or computers, and then servers going out every week. And then, so, I mean, there's always something going out with that many clients.
Yeah, no kidding.
What
are these new or repairs?
Those are just new, and there's always a constant flow of the repairs too coming in. I mean, we're trying to do the repairs remotely. I don't like to bring in stuff into the shop if I don't have to.
Sure.
So repairs are normally done remotely, if possible.
Yeah.
We do Log Me and Rescue. We have a lot of clients on GFI that we can do the the remote take control, get in there, and worst comes to worst, I can RDP into the server and then RDP to their computer or do what I need to do without them getting online.
Right. You were saying that you do, 80% of your work from remotely or something like that?
If I work, for me personally, I probably do 95% of my work in the office.
Oh, okay.
Because, for my job is I try and keep all the other techs busy. So I'm the service manager. So any work order coming in, I've got to either do it or reassign it to a tech and then make sure the tech does it.
Gotcha.
So I try not to leave the office because if I leave, the work coming in isn't going to be reassigned to the right person. So, but I do have clients that only want me to go out there. So there are some that I do have to go to because for whatever reason, they only want to see me.
Dispatcher.
And that's it's over the years, I've whittled that down. It used to be a lot more that only wanted me. And so I told them, look, it's just not, if you want me, I'll be out there in a week and a half. If you want somebody else, I can ask somebody there today. So I've whittled that down to the number of people I think I go to now is like a handful. Other times I can just send people out. And that's trust. Yeah. I mean, that goes back to the trust too. I tell them, you have to trust us that I'm going to send somebody who knows what he's doing. And if he gets into any kind of trouble, he can call me and I can work with him. That he's there, I'm remote, but we can still work together to get the issue resolved. So that over the years we've worked out to where that works out pretty good.
Do your techs work remotely too, or are they always on site?
They work remotely too. That's always our first option, is to try and do it remotely, as opposed to the old days where every call was going out for something. But now we'll try and do everything remotely, and if we go on site, if we have to, we have to. But and even though that's surprisingly a lot, I mean, the techs are on the road a lot. Because if new equipment, we'll deliver it, we install it. So just the new equipment alone and the new servers going out is keeps them busy on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm both. I go out. So yesterday I deployed. Well, Friday was one, and then yesterday was two computers, and today was two more computers. And these are all Windows XP to Windows 7 upgrades, new computers. But during all of that, I'll either find a place to stop, and I'll do remote assistance, and that keeps me from driving all over. Now, there are definitely times where, hey, my printer's broken, so I drive, need to drive to a physical site. But most of the time, I'll try to do as remote as possible. It allows me to be more efficient because I can see more clients in one day, and allows them to be more efficient because now they're not waiting on me because of, if maybe it's traffic or maybe it's weather or whatever, whatever. They can be up and running faster than it would take, they could be up and running sooner, than it would take me to drive there.
Yeah, absolutely. I can get through, on an average day, it's hard for me to say, but on an average day, I might go through 25, 30 work orders that I can do remotely. There's no way I could drive that many places.
Right. Well, I think remotely allows your business to grow because now you can do, diversify. You can be all over the place.
Diversiate.
I just made up a new
word.
Is that
a new Geeksters word?
I heard it in my head and it wouldn't come out my mouth. So because, there's a lot of customers that I handle that are all over the place. My farthest customer right now is in Sacramento. Yeah. So that's it. That's 10-hour drive for me. I don't see them very often, and my closest one is a mile from me.
Yeah. I talked to somebody today, a client out of Scotland. So I'm not going to go to Scotland unless he wants to pay. I'll go on site.
Oh yeah.
Scotland,
no,
but I'll be happy to.
Well, Fred
could give you a real good deal.
I was going to ask you, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask was, do you guys support businesses? I know you support businesses that have branches in other states and things, but do you have customers that are, outside of your service area, if you will, that you just support remotely?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few companies that all their work is done remotely because they're in, Texas or Minnesota. They're all over the country. Some of our clients have offices in other countries, so which makes it fun because they try and call me and they're speaking some foreign language. I'm like, I cannot understand you. Can you understand me? Because I cannot. So I tell them, you have to get a translator. So the translator calls and we're working through a translator sometimes.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Not.
Well, and then time zones.
Yeah, Right, because they'll call at 3 in the morning, and of course we're not there, and I call them back, and they're not there. So yeah, that, and they say, what can we do? I said, get up early or stay up late, because I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to call me when I'm at the office.
So I had a couple questions from the chat room asking if whether you've had any encounters with Heartbleed or Crypto Locker.
You know, okay, so my extent of Heartbleed is clients calling to ask me if they're affected by Heartbleed. And I give them that, I don't know the slide offhand, but I give them that slide as they test your websites. I say, your equipment in your office is not affected, but there may be services that you use. Here's a link. You can go put in the sites that you use and see if you're affected, but your equipment that we manage for you is not affected. And Crypto Locker, you know, I've only had one client get Crypto Locker, and it was his home computer. That was the extent. So he says he only uses the surf the internet. So we just wiped it, did a wipe and reinstall. That was my extent of Crypto Locker.
Oh, wow. Yeah, not me. I had only one client as well, but it was 70,000 files and $1 million worth of downtime. So they counted it as a loss. Wow. And they just went on because, it was a big one. We did a big, I think we talked about that for quite a bit, one of our podcasts. We talked about all of that. And yeah, it was pretty miserable. And I've had people ask me about Heartbleed, and usually it's usually one client. it's actually one customer in one client asking whether or not it is true that the NSA has been listening to his conversations. Wow. And I have to say, no. The NSA doesn't care about your data, but I have this one application and the NSA knows me and they're watching me, and I'm like, no, they still don't care. And so,
yeah, I have a good question. If I may ask, Matt, I assume that, you know, your technicians, you probably hired them. What qualifications do you look for in, hiring techs?
It's really hard to hire techs.
Don't say that. I have to hire a tech.
Good luck.
Because you can have somebody with these certs that don't know a whole, don't know any more than this guy taught himself, you know, and vice versa. And yeah, so yeah, it's a criteria.
I mean, it's hard. I guess what you're looking for is mainly in the interview process, just to see how they can communicate.
Right.
Because they have to be able to communicate, because when they're talking to clients, they can't mumble, they can't. When you send them into a client's office, they have to be presentable. Mainly what I'm looking for is, can they learn? Can they follow directions, or can they learn?
Gotta strike one, two, and three over here.
What was that, Tim?
Strike one, two, and three over here.
Oh.
I can't learn. If you see, I mumble, and, you know, presentable, forget it.
Now, if you see somebody that has, like, the potential, but doesn't know everything.
That's why you work in the basement.
Would you take time out to show them how you do certain things? And
well, it depends on what the need is. So if we have an entry level position, if I need somebody now who knows what they're doing, so an experienced tech, no. But if I have an opening for an entry level, we are looking for somebody who maybe knows the basics.
I mean, do you require certs and all that?
No, we don't require that. We want them to get an A+ at least after they're hired, which we'll pay for if they pass the test. And we encourage any certification. So any tech that wants to get certified will provide any books, will pay for the test when they pass them, to get whatever certifications they want, no matter what it is.
That's great. That's good to know.
But we do look for somebody for an entry level. Just, can you learn? Can you follow directions? Because you'd be surprised how many people can't follow directions, and just, you tell them 30 times to do something and they still can't get it. I shouldn't have to tell an adult something 30 times how to do a thing, and then you still don't get it right.
You hear that, Fred?
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
I'm the poster child for that.
No, you're not. I'm just joking.
I mean, if let's say, example, this not happen. Let's say I say, don't install Google Chrome on the client's computers when we're prepping the computer. And they install Google Chrome every time. I tell them, don't install this. Next time I go check it, it's there. Don't install this. Oh, I forgot. It's there again. Okay. And that's simple. I mean, it's not complicated. It's easy, right?
Right.
Well, in their defense, it's bundled with Adobe Flash.
Right. So, and it will go through that. You have to uncheck this. And if you do see it, uninstall it. So,
no, I'm just, but I understand what you're saying. I'm just,
I mean, you'd be surprised. Busted. I mean, it's hard to find people. And we've gotten lucky. I mean, And if you do, Martin, if you do find a good tech, you have to keep them.
I'm going
to
steal one of yours is what I'm going
to
do.
You have to keep them because, I mean, I've seen techs deserve to get paid well if they're good techs. And if you get them and they're treated well, they'll stay. And that's really the hard part is not only finding a tech, but keeping your techs that are good techs is hard too. Very hard.
Yeah. Now, are you the sole owner or do you have many people working for you? And the reason I ask is you're the reason. Okay. The reason is I ask this is because I am the face of Abando Computing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know it's not beautiful, but this is what you get. That's why I work remotely. thanks, Fred. Because you when you hire somebody, they're representing you. And that's, I mean, right. You know, and so that's a concern that's right. Is that I want to make sure that not, I mean, having somebody who works well and can do the job is great, but you know, somebody who could represent me and my company and you know, last thing I need is somebody to go out and say, well, I got the job done, but by the way, they probably don't want to talk to you again.
Right. Yeah. So any new techs that we get, I don't care if they're experienced tech, entry techs, their first job is going to work on the bench. They work the bench for a couple of weeks so we can see how they can fix computers in a controlled environment.
Right.
After that, they'll go with another tech for a couple of weeks or until we feel necessary to. They'll go shadow them, watch their experienced tech, and then at one point we switch roles where you just go with the experienced tech goes with the new tech and just keeps an eye on them. So he's watching the tech do his work like we're not there, but make sure he's not doing something wrong, make sure he knows what he's doing, make sure he's getting it right. So that'll be a month or longer before we let them go anywhere on their own.
And as a tech who's been that person, who's had to train and just go with that person to do that and just watch over the new person, that is the best day ever.
Oh, dude, my techs hate that.
Really? I'm like, there you go. If you need anything.
Okay, so we're used to nonstop, right? Go, go, go. So told me, I don't like when I have to, when he's following me, I feel weird that he's following me. You know, okay, well, I understand, but that's, you did it years ago, so now it's role reversal. And then when they have to watch the person, they say, oh, I hate that. I just want to tell them, move and let me do it. Because
even when you have a customer watching you when you're working on a PC and then they got their head writing in a little monitor, oh, that drives me nuts. Yeah. What are you doing now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I tell them, don't get in their way. You know, if you see them do something wrong, stop them or maybe see if they'll correct themselves. Don't let them screw something up.
Right.
But, yeah, we've got to know if they can do it. So, I mean, bench work is first for a couple of weeks. Make sure you can clean a computer without taking 3 days, you know, and then go on site and then be turned loose. And then the turning loose on your own is very simple things. Very simple. I'm not going to go send you on your first job to see why a server is not booting up. You know, you're going to go see why his keyboard won't connect wirelessly, you know, that kind of thing.
You guys have, like branded vehicles they drive, or do they use their own vehicles?
They use their own vehicles. Yeah, we only have one. Well, we have a cabling truck, but that's just all the cabling supplies. So yeah, they go in their own vehicles, which is a requirement. You have to have reliable transportation as a tech because you can't be hitching rides to work and then what good are you because they can't send you anywhere. You know, so
those are good.
Hey, when you talk about servers, you know, are you deploying a lot of NAS devices for businesses, or is it mainly, you know, servers.
So let's see. All of my clients, and again, I don't know the exact number. Let's say a couple hundred. There is one NAS. One client has one NAS. We don't use them.
Really?
Yep.
How about you, Martin?
I think I have a client who has one that's been sitting on the bench for a year and a half, not plugged in.
So all the servers are Windows servers.
Now, is this a way of getting around to, well, how do you do your data backup?
No. Oh, I've noticed a lot of the guys that in our little community who do small business support are deploying a lot of NAS devices and not like your typical, you know, server.
Yeah.
I see.
Because their clients are using it for the purpose of, you know, backing up and accessing data. They don't need, you know, all the server software stuff. You know, they're not running applications that require it or things like that.
Right.
Matter of fact, our friend Donald, he just deployed one last week. I think it was a QNAP, 18 drive. It's like $13,000. What the?
Pretty sweet.
I'm like, that's a pretty fancy server for $13,000. Yeah. That could be a couple decent servers for $13,000.
Yeah, it was 18 drives, RAID 6 with two arrays in it. It's pretty cool. He showed pictures of it. It was a company that does video editing and things like that. So that's just interesting.
Our clients are typically, you know, the smaller end, they're five or six. The larger end, but they might be a few hundred. But I would say our average customer is probably 30 to 40 users. So usually in that case, they have other needs. So centralized accounts, you know, for domain controllers, security. So, and then one customer that has a NAS is actually using it just to store some scratch video file. So none of it's important data.
Gotcha. And Matt, everything is Windows, no Linux?
Yes, that is correct. Windows. Yep. We had one client with a Linux server, only because the person who wrote the application only had a Linux version of it. They have since written a Windows version and killed their Linux side. So that was the only Linux server that we didn't deal with it. The guy who sold the app dealt with it. So our extent of troubleshooting the Linux box was, can we ping it? No? Okay, call the other guy.
Yeah.
And if the response was, can we ping it? Yes, but it's not working. Okay, call the other guy.
Yeah. Oh, man, call Martin. That rules.
Call Martin.
Well, I don't push out Linux servers as well. I have a Linux box at one client, but it's mainly for Pixie booting, and then I can jump in and do, it's at a school. So a lot of times, instead of carrying around a DVD to multiple, you know, to one school, or having, you know, having some software there, I just can Pixie boot it right into the Linux box, and then I can use, you know, whatever software right there, right from the server. Basically, it just makes a virtual CD for me instead of having to go from computer to computer, especially when I'm re-imaging a lab or something like that.
You know, one of the other things, Matt, that you've always talked about that I found interesting is, you know, how you handle, like, your weekends and basically you work business hours. And, you know, a lot of guys just getting started, you know, they say they can't do that. They, you know, to get the clientele base, they have to, you know, do whatever it takes to get the client. I don't, what's your opinion on that? And I'll tell you mine real quick. Mine is that you're getting new business every day. So, well, you know, often, so they know what the service level is coming into it. I'm just wondering if these people are making another reason I say, I know in my business the same way. When you're first getting started, a lot of people want to over deliver, if you will, and they end up shooting themselves in the foot in the end.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake to do whatever it takes to get the customer. Businesses are used to business hours. So they're used to other service providers closing outside of business hours. So and you have to have your own time. I'm not going to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm just not. And here's the thing, my thinking, if a customer knows that he can call you at 6:30 at night or on Sunday or Saturday afternoon, why waste time taking time out of my normal business hour day? Or let me do everything I can do that's during normal business hours only, and then I'll get to him. So if you offer support on those hours, they are always going to call you on those hours. So it's just a mistake. If you do that to start, word of mouth spreads. Hey, you can call me anytime you want. Great. Now that's out there, right? You can call me Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter what he did the night before. Give him a call. He doesn't mind. And his rate's the same no matter what. Oh, that's terrible. So I'm not saying we never do outside of business hour support, but there is definitely a higher rate for that. And it's advertised that we're available 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Weekends or after hours is the best effort, meaning if I can get to you, I will. If not, sorry. So that's a mistake.
Martin, I know you've worked on Saturdays and maybe Sundays. Some Sundays?
Oh, yeah. That's what Matt's saying. And I agree. I'm over here nodding, saying, yeah. And I'll turn around and work on a weekend or, you know, I mean, and you know, there are some times and where I have to, you know, I have to work on a weekend because nobody's there or whatever, but it's definitely something I need to work on myself. And I know that, and my family knows it for sure.
Right. And that's the thing, because I have a family, we have things to do, and Now, do you charge a higher rate when you work on the weekends?
No.
Oh, Martin. Sometimes, I'll tell you this, sometimes I get an email in or a voicemail saying, I forgot my password, can you reset it? I'll do that. I can do it remotely, and I charge time and a half minimum. So it's like $160 for a password reset. I'll do that on the weekends because then I can send a nice big bill for weekend overtime rates. But they get charged for it, for sure.
I think it's like you say, it's setting expectations from the beginning, you know. And I think, like you said, if you set that expectation that they can call you whenever they want, they will.
Right. They'll know. You'll get called, and you'll get calls all the time after hours. Oh, yeah, I'm finished for the day. Now I want you to look at my computer. No hurry. I don't need it till tomorrow morning.
You have all night.
Right. You've got at least 10 hours. I mean, I don't need it till 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
One of the things I run into is that I will be on site at a whole bunch of, you know, places, but then I, and this part of this is just that there's only one of me, and this is why I'm in the process of trying to expand, is that I spend all day running from client to client to client, fixing problems that I can't fix remotely. And then I get home and it's things like, okay, we need a couple of new users set up. We need this email password changed here. A lot of this stuff I can do remotely, but I can't do it because I'm on the road all day long.
Right. So in that instance, I'll do a couple of quick things remotely after hours. But see, your position is different than mine. I'm in the office all day long and I can do those 5-minute things quickly while I'm doing other things and have my text on the road. So,
I think what Martin's saying is that he's just busy. I mean, this is an issue. He just needs somebody helping him. It's not that they're getting over on him for, you know, working late hours or anything. You're doing the work of two people. That's all.
Yeah. If you had somebody with you, that person could maybe either do the bench work to free you up from that stuff if you don't want to send them on the road right away. But you need somebody to do where you're not. So either on the bench or on the road.
Right. And I know that. And as I grow and I increase in my, you know, and there's just some clients that are just waiting for me to say, yeah, I'm ready to go with, you know, they've sought me out. They've talked to me. We've had meetings and they want to go with me, but I'm at a point where I just don't have enough manpower. So I can't, you know, it's not fair to them for me to go, sure, I'll take you on. And then all of a sudden be like, well, I don't have enough time. And I've had to, unfortunately, there was a client that we ended up parting ways. A little bit, you know, probably 80% of it was they didn't know what they needed. And so when I got on site or what they told me they thought they needed, and then when I got on site, they really need a full-time tech on site doing their stuff. They're big enough to have a full-time tech. And there was just no way I was going to handle it. And they needed some major changes to their network. And I just didn't have the time right now. You know, now if I have a tech later on, that may be different because then I can have a tech, you know, on site, make, you know, redoing their DHCP scope because they're going to run out of IP addresses, or redoing their, you know, their antivirus because they don't have any, or, you know, for 200 computers.
Yeah. I can tell you, going on your own, being the only tech, I can tell from what I do, has to be extremely hard. There's no way. It's just too much. I mean, we have 6 of us. Now we have more clients, but I couldn't imagine trying to do that work all myself because you can only be one place at one time.
Okay.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and I have, you know, I've got great clients and they're just like, you know, I know you're busy, but whenever you get a chance, could you do this? And it's like, sure. And I do that. And they're always really thankful. And you know, they may get an email from me at, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and they're just like, great. I don't hear a response back until the next morning, but because they're not working.
Right. They're off doing what they want to do. They're off enjoying their own, you know, you have to have time to decompress and think about things other than computers, and or else you'll just go crazy. And that's one thing of offering that stuff to clients is that if you offer when you get them, you're going to have to give that to them the whole time they're a client.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to change your policies later on saying, yeah, I know I was available anytime when I first got you, but that was just to get you. Now that I have you, just call me 8 to 5 Monday to Friday. It's not going to happen. So if possible, I would tell a customer. And see, in your case, I might tell them, well, maybe not your case, but I would probably tell customers, I'm available 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And if you do work on your own remotely outside of that time, they're not necessarily going to know that. Because you can connect remotely and do it, but they're not calling you and saying, do this now. You're choosing to do it after hours, which sometimes I'll do that. They say, do this, and yeah, I could do it tomorrow, but take me 5 minutes. That frees up more time tomorrow. So I'll log in remotely from my house and do it.
But there are some things you have to do after hours, you know, server reboots or, you know.
That's funny.
No? No, he's laughing at me.
I just have reboots all the time during the day. I tell them, you need to get out, and I got to reboot your server.
Nice. I know it's 9 a.m. Monday morning, but I got to do a server reboot because I was partying over the weekend.
But if they call me with an issue, and they say, I look at it and say, well, we need to reboot the server. Okay, and I'll give them a chance. I'll give them the option. When do you want to do it? You want to do it after hours? Do you want to do it during lunch, which is my first option, right? Do it during lunch. Or do it now. Of course, they call me for a problem. None of this is scheduled maintenance. This is all problems. So if they have a problem, they don't want to wait till 5 o'clock to reboot the server. If it's 9 in the morning, they want to reboot it now. So most of the time, if they have a problem, I say, well, y'all got to get out. I got to reboot the server. If it's scheduled, I can do a scheduled reboot at whatever at night. And I can schedule that during the day, saying reboot the server at 9 o'clock tonight. And I don't have to actually touch it. It's going to reboot on schedule. So,
man, there you go.
But I do a lot of stuff. I mean, all the stuff I do normally is during the day. And if it inconveniences them, if they complain about it, I tell them, well, I can do it after hours if you prefer. Oh, yeah, it's great. And I say, it's just going to be the after hour rate. And I get the pause.
Yeah. So that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? It really is. It literally is.
Yeah. Is it worth it to them, basically? It's worth it to them if it inconveniences me. But if it costs them more money, that's when they say, oh, well, go ahead and do it now. Okay. And I love it when I have to do something I can do after hours. Some things I recommend after hours. You know, rebooting for updates, I recommend after hours. Because you never know how long it's going to take. It's got to apply 40 updates. It could take hours.
Or one .NET update.
Yeah. So, and I have clients that, you know, they say, I was on the server. Okay, first, why are we on the server? Because you shouldn't be. It says I have updates. Should I reboot it? I said, yeah, reboot it. I said, I'd wait till 5 if you're going to reboot it. Oh, I'll just do it now. Okay. They do it now and they call me an hour later. It's still rebooting. Well, it's doing updates. Well, how long will it take? As long as it takes is how long it'll take. I don't know.
We can't print.
Right.
I know. You rebooted the print server.
Rebooted it. Right. I told you not to do it till 5, but you wanted to do it now. So. You know, I had one client, this is funny, I might have mentioned this on another show, but they reboot their server every whatever day, she said, Tuesday or Wednesday. They reboot it at 9 in the morning, and they reboot it. And I said, you know, we can automate that. It's easy to do. Just schedule the reboot. Oh, okay, can we do that? I said, yeah, no problem. So I'm scheduling the reboot of the server, and she goes, now you're going to log in every, let's say I'm rebooting it Wednesday night. You're going to log in every Thursday morning to check and make sure it reboots, right? I said, sure, I can do a recurring work order every Thursday morning. Wait, I have to pay for that? I said, well, if you want me to log into your server every Thursday morning to check it, yes, that's a service. Oh, well, never mind then. I mean, really, that's what clients will try and do to you. They want me to log in remember to log in every Thursday to check it and do all that for free. So. I think I scheduled the reboot, and I think she actually asked me, are you charging me for this? And my response is always, for this service? Yes, we bill for service.
How dare you?
You don't ask the plumber at your house, are you charging me for this? I mean, when you call for work to be done, you expect you're going to get billed for it, right? But you'd be surprised how many times I get asked, am I being billed for this? So... I mean, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but...
No, you know what? I was going to say, I think there's been at least 10 times during the show I could have made this point, but, you know, with not having the contracts and the way that you very clearly say things to customers, it's black and white, you make them make a decision. You're very, very good at managing expectations and, you know, making it very clear. This is just how it is. So, you know, whereas I know sometimes somebody will say something, you let things slide. Maybe you let things slide. Oh, it's just 5 minutes here. It's just 5 minutes there. Or, you know, or letting them call too late. Just, you know, obviously, well, of course, all those little things do add, they add up, you know, over time. And I know that I'm guilty of it too. But, you know, you're the best at not, you know, every little detail and, you know, service. Well, yes, we bill for service. It's just beautiful. I mean, you're very, very good at saying what the customer needs to hear and forcing them to make that decision that they can't just assume that everything, something is just, like a little gift or something, like you had nothing to do and you called them looking for something to do today, and it's just a, you know, a blessing to them. No, it's you know.
I was hoping I could reset your password today. Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
there's no pay it forward in business.
Yeah, who had them in the office pool again? No, it's no. I you're very, very good at managing expectations, and so I think that that's what I always took from. Well, I think both you and Lalo were very, you know, that was something that you definitely impressed upon me, was that you really do have to you have to manage those minutes, manage the expectations, and so that's a great answer though. Service.
Yeah, that's my standard answer. I mean, when they ask me if I'm getting billed for this, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, if it's not, so basically anything, and we found over the years, most of my jobs are 5-minute jobs. Reset a password, that's a minimum, and we have half hour minimum for support. So reset a password, half hour minimum. But anything more than a yes or no answer, we bill for. Because, I mean, really, people and clients love to ask me, do you have time for a quick question? And my response is yes, if I can give you a quick answer. I mean, but if you ask me a question of how do I properly set up my VPN, I mean, that's, okay, that's a quick question. It only took about a second and a half to ask me, but the answer is a lot longer. So, yeah, I have time for a quick question. I may not have time to answer you, but I have time for you to ask me. And you might get that a lot too, Mark. I mean, people, they always want everything for surprisingly free.
Right.
But they're not going to call a plumber. You're not going to go to the walk-in clinic and expect to not pay something. I mean, just not how it is.
So. But you wouldn't call up your doctor and say, I got time for a quick question. Like,
I do.
You know, I have a lump with hair. Is that like,
but she, you know. But she lives with me, so I just don't worry about that.
I get that
for free.
Very nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, we bill for service, and if that service is 5 minutes, we bill for it. So, and our clients are used to it. I mean, it's funny when a client tries to email me directly, trying to bypass our ticketing system.
Oh.
And they say, well, I don't want you to make a work order. I don't want to get billed. I said, well, you don't get billed for work orders. You can create 100 of them if you want. Hey, you want a work order? Have a work order. I mean, they're free. It's only for work we do want a work order that's going to require a bill. So you can make a work order. And if there's no work required, you won't get billed. But if there's work required, yes, you'll get billed. So email me directly. It's not going to give it to you for free. I mean, so it's just I take your email and make a work order from it. So, but they think they get billed when a work order is created, which is funny.
Al in the chat room has asked, and I know the answer is, do you have Martin and Matt retainer clients? I know the answer to that is yes.
Right. So service agreement, retainer, it's kind of like the same kind of thing. So some people call them retainer clients. Some call them service agreement customers. Yeah, we do that.
My question is, like, for example, for Martin, probably more than for you, is how do you determine how many of those that you can have? At some point, you're going to be stretched too thin. So is there a hours formula that you can use, or is it just a gut feeling?
Yeah, it's just kind of a gut feel. I mean, it depends on what the client wants, you know, is really what it comes down to. Is you know, a retainer client with 3 users is completely different than a retainer client with 25 users. You know, and with that comes different needs, you know, one server versus maybe 2 servers, or one, you know, or a no server versus multiple servers. So I have some clients who are retainers, and I have some clients who are hourly. Now, I've offered every one of my clients, especially the big ones, a retainer type service, because it benefits me, it benefits them. I like to know that I'm going to get X amount of dollars from them, and they hopefully would like to know that they're going to pay me X amount of dollars. And I have incentives based on that by offering a lower minimums, you know, whether it's half an hour or 15-minute increments on retainer as opposed to an hour. So I have a couple clients who just have never wanted to have me on retainer, but they call me all the time, and every time I have to create a new user, that's an hour. And they're like, but why are you know, this is going to cost me an hour, huh? Yeah. I'm like, you want a retainer? No. Okay. Then it's an hour. And I'm like, excellent.
Now, one thing that I see people make mistakes on is wording of their service agreement or retainer agreement. Because you ask, how many can you handle? How many you can handle can vary based on how you phrase your response time in your agreement. So I can't say that. Be careful if you say, if you call me for anything, I don't care if one of your 18 printers doesn't print, I'm going to drop what I'm doing to talk to you. Okay. that's wrong, because if you have more, 5 texts and 6 calls, somebody is not going to be talked to right away. So technically, you're not meeting your agreement because you're not talking to them right away. So we don't worry about us like that. We have a queuing system. So the queue is top of the queue is service agreement customers with a what's the word I'm looking for? A system critical outage, a mission critical outage. Okay, that's the top of the queue. Below that queue is non-service agreement customers with mission critical outages. Below that, service agreements with anything else, any other outage or problem. Below that, normal clients with any other problem. So if I have a service agreement customer that can't print to one of his printers and a non-service agreement customer who's a server down, well, the server down is going to take priority over can't print, even though they're a service agreement customer.
Yeah.
But some people word it is, no matter what you call me for, you're at the top. I'm going to talk to you right away.
No, my service agreement clients know that it's, you know, as needed. And really why some of the companies that I have gone to service agreements, it's because they're so spread out. You know, one of my clients, they have 25, 30 different locations all over the state of Oregon and even into California. And it gives them a chance to be able to call me. So it gives the main office a chance to budget how much they're going to pay me. And then all it takes is, you know, then a user to call me up and say, hey, this isn't working right. And then the main office doesn't have to worry about me, you know, surprise, here's a bill that they didn't expect because it never really went through the main office. So this client uses the retainer type style for just ease of billing and ease of budgeting.
Yeah. So on our service agreements, none of them cover project work or new equipment. Cause project work can get out of hand fast.
Yeah.
So any service agreement we do is to maintain current equipment. So if they want to put new servers in, that's built separately. Once it's in, the service agreement may have to be raised to cover that machine. But because usually we base our agreements on number of servers, number of users, or kind of thing. So sometimes we do a flat rate agreement, but that still goes basically into how many hours we think we'll spend a month. So they don't see an hourly number, but it's based basically on how much we want per hour out of this customer. So,
right. And I think I do the same thing where I have one client, it's a school, they have me for 10 hours a month. But now I've done a couple projects over the summer, and we'll be doing a couple projects this summer that lead it into, you know, 16, 20, 24 hours. Now they get billed at one rate for the 10 hours, and they get billed at another rate for the rest of the time. Yeah. So it all just kind of, when it comes to a big project, I won't differentiate it. It just gets thrown in there. No. And then they will just know that it will probably tap out over that. And then they either get a higher rate or build an hourly charge. So.
Yeah. Right. And we have some agreements like that where they just prepay for 8 hours or 10 hours a month. And after that, it's whatever the hourly rate is after that. But some of them, we have a flat fee to cover everything, day-to-day work, not new project stuff. So you can form one of the agreements. However you can dream it up, you can word it, just as long as you express to the customer what's not covered and what is covered.
Right. And since I do hourly, even though it's a set amount of hours on that type of retainer, because it's an hourly rate, adding a project to it doesn't do anything, but I don't have any just X amount of dollars for everything, you know, type things. I think in that instance, I would definitely have this is a new project. This is going to cost this much money outside of that.
Right. Yeah. And those, the all you can eat, they call it, plans, has the fine print, you know, doesn't include all the crab legs, you know, it doesn't include some things, and they have to be made clear what they include, what they don't include. So.
Right.
Uncle Al in the chat, who's awful chatty tonight, he also is asking, do any of those clients have in-house IT people that you would support?
Some do. We do have clients that have their own IT staff that we supplement or do things that they don't know how to do or that they break.
I've heard you talk about that in the past, and as a matter of fact, just today I heard you say that the only time that you'll send out let me Google that for you is to in-house IT people.
Oh, that was one of the old Pondus pros.
Yeah,
that wasn't really to like today. That
I just think that's hilarious. I could just see that email coming through.
I love that thing. Yeah, they'll email me something ridiculous that I know they didn't even spend 2 minutes trying to fix, and I'll just send them one of those "let me Google that for you" links. Yeah.
So what kind of things, if they have in-house staff or IT, do those, where are their deficiencies that you, that they would hire you? Is it in a specific area?
Computer knowledge?
Did I open a can of worms?
No, a lot of them, we were doing work before they had their own IT staff. So a lot of them we were doing work for, and they got bigger and they decided to hire somebody in house. So they kept us on to help that person out, or if he went on vacation or something, because we knew the network better than that person. So some of them got bought out by other companies and they had their own IT staff, but they still wanted us as a backup to them. So that's normal, the normal two cases.
How about you, Martin? Do you have any of those cases?
No, I don't have any clients that have in-house IT. My most of my clients are small enough where I'm their in-house IT.
Now, if you want to count the users who think they're IT staff.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
No, that can be almost everybody.
Hey, but that's what keeps us in business. Hey, I read on the internet that if I did this, it would fix the server. Yeah.
Right. Hey, so no, we most of our clients... Of course, the owners have the admin passwords because we make sure they have it, although they say they don't have it. We give it to them and they lose it. But if they ever want to give it to an in-house person, like an employee who thinks they know about computers, we do have a rate to correct things that they break. So it's time and a half. So if they give the admin password out and they break something, then they call us to fix it. It's time and a half.
Wow.
And we just call it advanced networking support, because obviously if their IT person couldn't fix it, it must be advanced. So
that's outstanding.
That's well, great. It's funny you mentioned that, because I had left one client yesterday and then came back just as the owner had given another lady, one of his administrative assistants, a project to do, and it was installing some stuff on the server. And so I walked in just as I hear her talking to the person of, so I'm supposed to install this on the server, right? And I'm like, whoa, hold on. What are you doing? I'm going to install this on the server. Don't I just drag and drop it into this folder here because it's a map network drive? Don't I just, isn't that installing it? I'm like, would you like me to talk to the IT guy? Wow. So I put the headset on. Yeah. Okay. Install it. Yep. That port. Got it. Okay. Bye. tap. There you go. Now it's installed on the server and you open. There you go.
And I can imagine for you as handling all these clients by yourself, if a customer screws something up, you don't even have time for that. So it just puts everything else behind, and which is similar to us too. I mean, we're booked too. So if I got to take a call from somebody who really screwed something up because they didn't call us first, that's what the other rate is for. So,
well, I've had, you know, the other day, and you've probably run into these too. I got called out to a client who their printer didn't work. She says, printer doesn't work. Don't know what's going on. Can you come out and fix it? All right. So I go out and I fix it. And what happened is they bought a new toner and I put the toner in and it wouldn't read the toner. And so come to find out, I'm like, where'd you buy this toner at? It was a generic toner. Oh, just down the, you know, right up the street at Toners R Us.
Refill toner?
Yeah. And I'm like, you probably need to go buy a Brother branded one. That'll work. Okay, well, where's that? I said, well, I know there's an Office Depot down the way. Okay, could you go get that? All right. I'm on the clock.
I'll do whatever. It's on the clock.
I'll drive it. So I drove down to Office Depot. I bought a new one. I drove back. I put it in. Ta-da! Hey, your printer's working now. I'll send you an invoice. And then I got, just as I was getting home from that, they said, yeah, now the other one, because this was magenta, and the blue ran out. I'm like, well, there's an Office Depot just down.
Job security, huh?
Yeah, see, I build them the whole time on the road. I'll mark up the part that I bought because I got to put it on my credit card. Then I've got to worry about paying it. So the part gets marked up. All the time is charged. Yeah, and then they call and say, why am I getting billed $140 just to change the toner cartridge? Well, because you didn't want to do it.
I tell you, you should always mark up parts, because that accounts for the time that you're going to get a bad part, the time, you know, eventually you're going to have to spend time sending it back, returning it, or whatever. So, yeah, if you just rebuild what you paid for it, you're eventually going to kind of screw yourself. So, all parts have to be marked up, because there's going to be time eventually that you're going to have to account for.
So, here's a question. What about this then? What about this situation? Is a client then does the research, finds the part they want, and then says, could you purchase this part? Or... You know, or, you know, then how do you mark up if they already know the price? Or,
well, it doesn't matter. So if they know, I'll send them a quote and say, here's what the price is going to be if you buy from me. You know, they say, well, why is it cheaper over here? And I'll tell them, well, we have to mark it up to make a profit. We have to pay, you know, I'll tell them this administrative cost with us having to order this for you. Now, a lot of times the part is we're resellers for most places, for most things. Well, I can actually get it for the same price I see online. So I normally make money anyway as a reseller, or I get it through my distributor, Synodex or Tech Data. So I'll get it for cheaper than they see it. So I can usually sell it to them the same price. But even if it's something that I can't get, my response will either be buy it from them, or if you want it from me, here's my cost, because it's in there. The markup is for an administrative cost. So
Well, it's the same thing. They say, well, you know, why does it cost more? It's like, well, what happened? You're having me order it. I'm spending my time. What happens if it comes and it's there's something wrong with it? I'm going to need my time to send it back. You know, there are administrative costs involved, and over time,
it adds up, just like the 5-minute calls, because we used to not bill for 5 minutes or less for calls. Then we realized how long it takes to reset a password, how long does it to take to actually create a user account. It's less than 5 minutes. So we started billing for all that stuff years ago, and it really makes a difference. So,
yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, cool, Matt. I think we could keep going on and on and on. I mean, just having you here and talking is just great. And I know I'm enjoying it. And
I can leave you with one quick story. If you want a quick one.
Oh, please.
It's a very quick one. And it's, well, it's in my mind.
Well,
it just
happened. How quick? I mean, if it's...
Right.
A yes or no answer.
It's more than a yes or no story, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I hit it. Right. I hit it. Go for it.
Because if I just said yes, that wouldn't be a very good story. So.
Oh, you should hear Martin's jokes.
Oh, come on! Oh, my gosh. No, well, I'll have to. So offline, Matt, I'll tell you one of the one of the best jokes.
Okay, I'll wait.
All right.
Okay, so I had a user, and this is by chance a user that wanted the admin password for the server because she told her boss she knew about she was an IT admin at her last job. Okay, that's just the backstory on this person. She calls me. So when I created her account on the server like 2 weeks ago, they told me what password they wanted, and I vaguely remembered it. So she called me and said, I can't log into my computer. I said, well, what password are you using? And she told me the password. And I said, well, wasn't there an exclamation mark after the password from my memory? And she goes, yeah, well, actually, she wrote down the password with two exclamation marks behind it. But I thought she was just excited.
Your password is password.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
That's what I thought. She was excited. She was excited to give me my password. No, that's part of the password. You've been typing it in for 2 weeks. You just forgot about it all of a sudden today. So.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to send people their new passwords and just say, there's no exclamation mark. I'm just really excited to give this to you.
I'm happy to share this password with you.
I think one of my favorite Matt stories was on Podnos Pro. You were talking about a lady who for some reason, I don't remember the reason, but you wanted her to unplug the computer from the wall. And she kept saying, well, can't you do that remotely?
Yes. You know what? I was telling somebody about that today because that girl called in today.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, so I can go over that real quick if you want. For those who haven't heard that story in this show.
Yeah, tell it real quick because it's a good one.
Okay, it's real quick. Okay, so this girl calls me and she says there was a beeping noise coming from her computer. Once in a while, I said, okay, well, I suspect it's the battery backup. I said, so what we can do is you can unplug the battery backup from the wall and it'll beep. And when you hear that beep, can you tell if that's the same beeping you heard? Oh, yeah, I'll be able to tell. I said, okay, well, go ahead. And so I'm waiting, and I don't hear a beep. I said, did you unplug it yet? She says, well, I thought you were going to do it. I said, okay, I'm on the phone with you, not there. So what I'm going to need you to do, I'm going to need you to actually unplug it from the wall. And she goes, wait, don't do it yet. I said, well, no, you're not hearing me. I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to unplug it. And then she says, well, how do I do that? I said, well, how do you unplug your hairdryer? You just pull it out the wall. It's just like a toaster or a hairdryer. You just pull it out. Well, how do I find it? I said, okay, well, you see the battery backup on the ground. Yeah. Okay, well, you have things plugged into it, right? Yes. Okay, on the side is a black cord. That cord goes to the wall. What do you mean? I said, what do you mean? I said, you know what an electrical outlet is, right? On the wall, those things with the holes in them? Yes. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, you don't seem to understand. You know, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I said, so trace the cable from the battery backup to the wall. And where, and then when you find it, just grab it and pull it out of the wall. Okay. And she's rustling about under her desk. And she goes, it, there's no end to this cable.
Oh my gosh.
I said, there is an end to the cable. It's about 3 or 4 feet from where it starts.
Oh my gosh.
And it goes to the wall. Nope, there's no wind. I said, look, I'm sorry. It's not an endless cable. I said, I know it has an end. I plugged it in when I installed it.
We should have warned you about Tim. He gets the giggles.
It's as if the cord goes all the way back to the power plant where the electricity was generated.
You're right. It's some kind of illusion or, I mean, magic trick. But anyway, so I had almost told her, put the phone next to the wall. I'm gonna reach the phone and grab it. You know, but she, the whole thing, how do I unplug it? Are you going to do it? Where does it go? And in the end, we had to actually go out there and do it for her because she couldn't get it. Yeah.
That was a great story.
It would have been easier.
It's a good thing she wasn't right when you went out there.
Yeah, but that would have been interesting.
Oh, you're right. This cord has no end.
I should have brought some kind of long cord tucked in my shirt and just kept pulling on it, you know.
Yeah. Just the strings out of your mouth like a magician. Does it look like this?
And, you know, well, I won't say that on the air, but her boss that says something about her. I know she's not the smartest person in the world, but she's very reliable. I said, okay. Because she actually asked, why are you here? I said, to unplug the battery backup. She couldn't do that? Evidently not.
Now I'm concerned. When you got there, was she still under the desk? Like, couldn't find her way out? Or...
Here's a brown paper bag.
She tried to follow the cable back out.
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, the owner was upset that they had to pay for to do this, but, you know, it's service. I tried to walk her through.
Is there nobody else there? There was nobody else. Was there anybody else?
Well, that's what I asked her. I said, is there anybody else that can help you? No. Okay. Well, do you want us to come out? Yes.
Well, you know what? Okay. That's nobody. She shouldn't be there alone, first of all.
That was power equipment.
Oh, man.
Great show.
A good show.
Oh, man. My goodness. All right. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. We've had a pleasure. If you're looking for clients, or do you want to plug your business or anything?
I am not looking for any more clients. But if anybody wants to email me, matt@podnuts.com or on Twitter, Podnuts Pro. I'm on there once in a while. So, yeah, but no more business, please. I have plenty.
Hey, Matt, I have a cord over here if you can. No, I'm just kidding. I'll call you after hours. That way it's not on on a different time clock. Hey, Fred, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Fred@jetspeedit.com or Fred the Pilot on YouTube.
Nice, nice. Mitch, if people want to send us a voicemail or an email, we had an email today, but I think we're going to hold it off because I think this email is a bit lengthy, and I think it's going to take quite a bit of time to go through it.
Yeah, send us your voicemails at 7076-PODNUT, and you can email me at geeksers@podnuts.com or geektalkwithmitch@gmail.com.
Nice. And Tim, if people want to get a hold of you?
Tim Bauermeister on the G+. And then, like Tim in the Podnuts forums, you can email me. I am tim@realpcrepair.com.
Nice. And if you guys want to get a hold of me, I'm martin@obandocomputing.com. You can find me. Oh, I'm all around. Just Google me. And as always, we're here every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, or Pacific, excuse me, and 6:30 p.m. Whatever. 3:30 East Pacific. 6:30.
I was wondering when we were losing that half hour.
Oh, anyways, we're here. So we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Bye.
D72 is here. Go to foolishit.com for more information.